It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is Friday, producer Steve.
Amen and amen again.
Tell you what, the weeks are going by very, very quickly. There is so much going on. It was just last Friday that Kabul was in a different situation than it is right now. It's just beyond belief how that situation is deteriorating over there, Steve.
Especially, you know, one of the stories in our package this morning is the fact that they've unearthed, I guess, because I'm sure they tried to bury it in the last week or so, but a memo from the State Department going upline towards the White House saying, hey, we truly believe that the Taliban has this capability. They're going to, you know, their advance is going to be incredibly fast if we don't do something.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if this is incompetence or what this is exactly that is happening over there. But first of all, I will say it is totally incompetent. And I was up at Cooper's Troopers lunching yesterday with all of these Marine veterans, combat veterans, and just looking into their eyes and looking at the sacrifice that they gave and those that they care about, and then just to see what this administration, lack of leadership, incompetence, whatever it is, to see what's happening over in Afghanistan, leaving Americans behind the front lines, but yet here we have POLIS talking about taking Afghani refugees, and certainly I honor those that have helped us, but Steve, you cannot tell me that when you saw that airplane full of people, primarily men, first of all. I want to make the point, what man leaves behind women and children, their women and children or other women and children, when you know that the Taliban is going to be knocking on the door? And the fact that this administration, our governor, says that we want to open our state to these people that clearly have not yet been vetted. Obviously, they've not been socially distanced. And we do not know their vaccination status. To so quickly say that they are going to welcome them into our country, into our state, is not only a direct affront to our military that have sacrificed there, but it is an affront to that everyday, hardworking American out there that's just trying to make ends meet because of these policies of the radical left Democrat agenda. It is an affront to our military. It is an affront to our citizens as well, Steve.
Well, looking at the federal or the state level, to those who are currently calling the shots, you know, what do they really care about the hardworking middle class people? They show it almost daily. They don't care.
You know what? That is it. They really don't care. That's why I can't wait to talk with Rick Turnquist in segments 3 and 4. He has done a companion piece to his piece last year. That was unfit to govern, and this is still unfit to govern. So that's going to be a great conversation, Steve.
Yeah, TurnQuest Fridays are always, you walk away or you get to the top of the 7 o'clock hour and you really have some food for thought.
That is for sure. And with all of this going on, the quote that I went to fear quotes today, Steve, do not fear, but this one, and I don't know this guy, is Neil Donald Walsh. He says he was born in 1943. Says he's an American author of the series Conversations with God. He is also an actor, screenwriter, and speaker. And he said, fear is an acronym in the English language for false evidence appearing real. So that was very appropriate for what's going on in America today.
Very clever. Yes, I like that one.
And my friends, you know that we are searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to fear. It's not about free stuff. And you realize free stuff means that it has to be taken from somebody else to be given to another person. So it's not free. It's taking the fruits of somebody else's labor. And when we look at the printing of money, it is really taking from our next generation. And there is something inherently immoral about doing that, Producer Steve.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because every time I watch some giddy person celebrating what they're getting from free, it's like, what is it? What's really going on inside their mind? Do they know that someone else is paying for it and they just don't care? Or are they really that, ignorant, I guess is the right word, that they don't realize that it has to come from somewhere?
Well, I think a lot of people have not learned that in our education system. And our education system certainly has let us down with the education of many of our children. We look at the recent assessments, and our kids clearly are falling behind. And it's not just because of the Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, but the fact that we take our school hours, and instead of teaching our kids reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, critical thinking, the fact that we're focused on sexualizing them through the LGBTQ agenda, the curriculum that is being taught there, as well as dividing our children with the CRT, the critical race theory. Kids are taught racism. I don't think kids really see, and I know it for sure because I have a good friend who, he's black, she's white, and they got married back in the 70s, back when that was very, there were not as many mixed marriages as there are now. And her little, and I've told the story before, but her little niece came back from school one day and said something about black people, and my friend's sister-in-law said, well, what do you mean that about black people? And she said, well, Uncle Ron's black. And she said, well, no, he's not. And she said, have you looked at the family pictures? The child never even realized there was any color there. And so this critical race theory, Steve, is teaching kids that they're different when they would never have noticed it, Steve.
Well, again, I go back to the great divider, Barack Obama. I lay all these types of things at his feet. I mean, division is, the primary tool of the left.
It really is. And that's why we need to unite. And I'm going to get him on very quickly. In fact, I'm going to be meeting. We're going to have a meeting today, but our friend Reggie Carr, who created I'm a Trumpster, has just been so frustrated and troubled about all the division in our country, and he is rebranding to something called I'm a Uniter, and he has written a soundtrack that will be released, and he's got an amazing video that we will be releasing very soon. To talk about uniting us instead of what is dividing us. And I'm very excited about that, Steve.
You had me gone for a second because the last name I had out there was Barack Obama, and you said, I'm going to get him on soon. I thought, oh my gosh, you have connections.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting if I did that, huh?
No, it would not. No, don't go there.
We're going to get Reggie on here very soon because he has been working diligently, and he's a super talented individual. And we must unite. I really think, Steve, that 80% of the country really does want to come together and unite. And we are, as General Arbuckle had said, we are in really perilous times in America right now. But I see a lot of hope. There's a lot of things going on. And I wanted to go to this article that was, let's see, this is from the Center Square, and it said, Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold on Tuesday appointed Mesa County Treasurer Sheila Reiner to oversee the county's upcoming elections in place of Tina Peters, the county clerk and recorder, who's under investigation for her role in the alleged dissemination of sensitive election materials. If you haven't been watching, what this these sensitive election materials are, is that Tina Peters, and this was at that Mike Lindell symposium up in South Dakota, was that just last week? I think it was, where she has, she actually has proof that, and this was shown there, that she has the before and the after, the before Jenna Griswold's team or Dominion team came in to do a trusted build on the Dominion machines, quote unquote, to get ready for the 2021 elections. There is proof that in the log file, that there are things in the log file that there were there. And after the Dominion machine, I think it's the trusted build update, those logs have disappeared. And apparently Tina Peters has proof of that. The other thing about it is think about this. Appointing the county treasurer for the election that is in 2 months, the county treasurer has never done anything on the election in Mesa County. So something fishy is going on, Steve.
Well, you said it. We said it here how many times since November that supposedly Colorado was, I don't know if they call it this, the gold standard of the election integrity. If Tina Peters has something that's going to bring that all down, doesn't it make sense that they'd be jumping on her back?
That seems like a dot to connect, that's for sure. And I did, Jenna Griswold had a press conference last week after Tina Peters had made the presentation at the symposium up in South Dakota. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to listen to that. And I tuned in, and it was like 40 or 50 minutes long. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't have time to do this right now. But, Steve, I have to say that the truth doesn't take 40 to 50 minutes to present. And we are learning that what is the opposite of order? It's chaos and confusion, correct, Steve?
Absolutely.
And wherever we're seeing chaos and confusion, just step back, my friends, and say why. And it's not just on this election integrity thing. It is even as I go over here and I take a look at this this initiative, the LEAP initiative, the Learning Enrichment and Achievement Program Plan that is going to be on the ballot this election cycle. And at this particular point in time, those that are supporting it, they've already have a little over $1 million that they have to support this. The other side, which is the grassroots side, and just if you're not familiar with it, it is a proposed new retail state marijuana tax, or state retail marijuana tax, quote unquote, for the children. And once again, there's confusion and chaos in this. The proponents of this have, and they've really talked, I think, some good folks into this as well, that this may be a step towards school vouchers and school choice. But when you look at the players, the money that is coming in initially, the $950,000 that came in from the Gary Investment and Community Investment Group, they are really no friend of school choice, as we see it, free school choice. I mean, school choice across the spectrum. There might be those on that side. They're for school choice as long as they choose. And that is what is a bit confusing to people on this is, yes, parents could choose from a variety of vendors for after-school programs. The only trick is the vendors that they get to choose from have been pre-selected by an unelected, unaccountable authority board of bureaucracy that has been appointed by this governor, and then they get to replace. They get to choose their replacements. Steve, what could go wrong with that?
I can't believe you'd ask such a question after just what? How long has Polis been in office? Silly girl.
Silly girl is right. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of both of my shows, and that is the Kim Munson Show as well as America's Veteran Stories. And we're actually doing another recording of our, we have two guests this weekend. One is Doug Chamberlain, and he's a former Marine, a Vietnam veteran, and he is a sponsor of the show. He has a new, he has a book out, Bury Him, a memoir of the Vietnam veteran. And he was given the unthinkable order to leave a man behind, to bury his remains instead of bringing him out. And, you know, that's really the American motto is we do not leave a man behind. And when I look at Kabul and the Joe Biden policies on this, that we think that there are Americans that are outside this perimeter to the airport that Joe Biden has left behind out there, that is against the American code. So anyway, it's a great interview with Doug Chamberlain. And then we are re-recording the interview with Ray McPadden. He has a new book out, We March at Midnight. He did two tours in Afghanistan and two tours in Iraq. And we had pre-recorded before last Friday. And you came in, Steve, and you said, you know what, I think we maybe want to get his perspective on that. And so we will be redoing that this Friday morning and today. And then we will be broadcasting that on Sunday, Steve.
Well, it's like getting your perspective on some kind of travesty in Kansas. I mean, you somebody who's been there, you want to know how they see it.
Absolutely. So be sure and tune in on Sunday, and that is at 3 and at 10. We are going to go to break. Oh, I wanted to mention, though, Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both of these shows. And they have new specials that are coming out. And, of course, football season is right around the corner as well. But they've got some great lunch specials. They're holding the line, even though inflation is ramping up big time. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Click on the Sponsors tab. Highly recommend each and every one of them. Click on the tab for Hooters, and all of their specials will be there. And we will be right back with Peter Yu.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Excited to have on the line with me Peter Yu. He is a candidate for U.S. Senate here from Colorado, and he addressed this critical race theory, the whole racism question, recently. He said it's a lie, and oh my gosh, they jumped on him like crazy. Peter Yu, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
I am good. Yeah, you decided to just kind of jump into this whole racism narrative, huh?
I did, and it's you know, as a minority who has spent 49 years of my life in this country, and my mom and dad and my six brothers and sisters who have spent even longer, we've always felt welcome in this country. We started out with nothing when we came to America, and you know, fortunately through hard work, all seven children have been able to achieve, you know, truly what you want to state, the American dream. And it's very disheartening to see what's going on in our country right now, where we continue to try to push this narrative that if you are a person of color, that you are basically oppressed. And it's hard to see what's going on, and it's also hard to see that if someone is that the person is white, that they're considered a racist automatically. And so I definitely dipped my toe in it, just basically relaying my own experiences as also what I actually hear with other minorities in the country. And as a result, I have been attacked on a constant daily basis ever since.
Now, where did your family immigrate from, Peter?
So my mom and dad and my six brothers, they originally were from China, but then my mom and dad, they fled to Hong Kong because they were from China. They were in Guangzhou province. And then they went to Hong Kong. And then they waited many, many years before they were approved to come to the United States. And they came here in 1969.
Okay. And you have six brothers and sisters. And you, and I'm looking at this. What I find so interesting is that you were addressing, you were speaking at the Log Cabin Republicans, which that is the nation's largest Republican organization dedicated to representing LGBT conservatives and allies. So you're speaking there. You are of Asian descent. But yet Yahoo is the one that really jumped on you. On you made a statement that that you really think that this whole racism thing is a lie. And I just find it just kind of ironic how this whole thing has come down regarding your comments on this.
It's actually been absolutely crazy in regards to what has happened. Yeah, so I basically gave a speech to the Log Cabin Republicans back in July. And it's a wonderful organization. I had a chance to come speak. It was at the last second they had to go and pick a new venue because unfortunately their original venue closed, and just part of the COVID situation where businesses were having a hard time survive. So they did it basically in a parking lot in a restaurant in Golden. And it was a difficult situation because it was just like there's motorcycles, Harleys going 5 feet from me on one side. There was a karaoke thing going on 5 feet on the other side of me. And so I'm literally screaming into a microphone, and we're talking about, you know, what America stands for and what we believe in. And obviously racism comes up into the whole narrative with critical race theory, everything else. And somehow, because of this video, this other video I did regarding critical race theory, put me on the map in regards to, okay, well, this isn't the narrative that we want to push, so we're definitely going to find something on him. Well, as a result, they found this video where it's obviously implied in regards to what my statements are when I say racism is a lie. I'm basically saying that systemic racism or that America as a whole is a lie. And I also gave my own experiences in regards to me being an Asian person in this country regarding, you know, the COVID response. And I've said that I've been treated with respect the entire time. I've also acknowledged that, you know, that racism does exist, that I've experienced racism myself, and that in regards to Asian, you know, crime in this country over the last year has increased as well. But however, I've also stated that it's also increased against everyone else. Unfortunately, because of the crime rate in our country and the defunding in the police, it's all kind of relative. But yet, we are now living in a society now, Kim, where everything where it includes a person of color, whoever it may be, is now automatically considered racism. And I think we are just taking this to a whole new level because I think that's how a lot of people decide to win elections, because that's how basically tell someone what to be scared of and then who to blame. And that's what they're doing right now. I mean, University of Wisconsin right now at Madison, I mean, they removed a rock or a boulder because they said that rock is now racist. And so we're just going down this wrong path. And as a result, Yahoo News picked it up, and I've been basically declared public enemy number one here in Colorado.
Boy, I tell you what, Peter, we need to have, I think, a longer conversation on this because they are trying to certainly divide us. You're running for U.S. Senate. How can people get more information about you?
So it's actually the best way to get hold of me is through our website, which is youforsenate.com, which is youforsenate.com. You can also email us at either info@youforsenate.com or even email me personally at peter@youforsenate.com. And I would love to be able to have a chance to talk with anyone regarding what's going on within our state as well as our country. Absolutely.
Okay. Peter, thank you so much. And thank you for stepping forward. And we need to be doing things to unite us instead of dividing us.
Well, and thank you, Kim, for everything you're doing, and I would definitely love to be able to have the opportunity to expand on this topic because it's heartbreaking that we are training our children in this world to believe that these narratives that are absolutely untrue, whether it's the CRT, whether it's 1619 Project, or even anything regarding white privilege. It's definitely needs to be addressed and needs to be stopped.
Most definitely, Peter. And again, thank you so much, and we'll have another conversation.
Sounds good. You have a great day. Thanks a lot, Kim. Take care.
And before we go to break, on the line with me is one of my valued sponsors, partners, and that is Hal Van Herkey. He and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal Van Herkey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's always a pleasure to be on.
And a lot has happened since the last time we talked, last Friday morning. What's your thoughts on current events?
That's what was going through my mind when you were introducing me, is that just how much has changed. Current events, I think it's been a very difficult week for me, and I know it has been for people, you know, nothing compared to people who are going through what's going on in Afghanistan directly, and they're being impacted by it, and all of the veterans and volunteers and humanitarians that served in Afghanistan for, you know, 20 years to try to, with the idea that we were going to somehow make that a better place in the long run. So it's not a good week for freedom, not a good week for being a humanitarian and for caring about people and individual freedoms and individual rights. But it's impacted me very indirectly, but still I can only imagine how it's impacted people who have committed so much there.
I'm with you on this, Hal, and it's just unbelievable the incompetence in the planning on the exiting of Afghanistan, and the fact that we have Americans still there is just beyond belief to me, Hal.
Yeah, I just saw a quote from an interview from, I think, that gets to the very root of it, where Joe Biden said that there was not a scenario in his mind that this was, you know, that he felt like this was unavoidable, that no matter what he did, this was going to happen. So he never even really gave it a thought about being successful on this withdrawal. And so they just ignored it. They didn't plan for it. They didn't do anything. They assumed they were going to be, that we were going to go through this no matter what. And I don't even know what to begin to do with that. So it's just, you know, that sounds like one of the most honest things I've heard come out of a politician's mouth in a long time. That, so anyway, yeah.
Unbelievable. But hey, let's move over to your business, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. The website is castlegate.com. You've got a shipment of Medford knives coming in. This is very exciting.
Yeah, we do. If you're a knife fan, you know that Medford Knife and Tool is a big deal in the knife community. They make handmade custom knives in Phoenix, Arizona, and their staff is almost entirely staffed by with veterans from either Afghanistan or from Iraq and from the global war on terror. And we do have a big custom shipment coming from them. They just posted up a video on their YouTube page showing all the knives we're getting, and those will show up in our store sometime early next week. So we're really looking forward to that. And if anybody sees one that they want, just call us in advance, even before we get it. We put your name on it, and we'll sell it to you as soon as we get it in the store.
And does that discount apply for veterans and first responders and our military personnel on these knives as well?
Yes, on every, you know, just like everything else we sell, it applies. It's a 10% discount for our group of warriors, that whether they're first responders, current military, prior military, 10% on anything we sell, including these knives.
Hal Van Herkey, you and Linnea are the best. Thank you so much for being a partner of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories.
Thank you, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Rick Turnquist.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We're an alternative to all that's going on out there. We're searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it is Friday, which is one of producer Steve's favorite days in the week, but it is TurnQuest Friday, producer Steve.
Yes, and like I said before, nobody goes away hungry after TurnQuest Friday.
Oh, my gosh. So, Rick TurnQuest, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Steve. How are you guys?
We are good. You are now my one of my most favorite Oklahomans. You are in a state that believes more in freedom versus force. I tell you, Rick, it's crazy in Colorado now with what's going on. You've written a companion piece, still unfit to govern, to the piece that you had written last year, unfit to govern. And it is a very, very powerful, hard-hitting, well-written piece. And then, of course, Zach put together a most interesting visual to go with this. I sure recommend people to go to my website to check that out.
Yeah, I love the graphic of Joe Biden sitting on Chinese President Hu Zhu, or however you say his name, shoulder in front of a couple of broken-down houses in Flint, Michigan. I think it's a great representation of the unfitness of Democrats to govern. And this is something I've been thinking about and wanting to hammer home to people in the run-up to next year's midterm elections, because we have real-world results of what happens when Democrats are elected to high office and when they continue to run things for, you know, periods of time. And it's really evident that the Democrats just are not fit to govern. And we see this in Colorado. We see it throughout the nation. And the real-world results that I put in the two graphics in last year's piece and this year's piece about the best 10 states in the nation and the best worst 10 states in the nation in terms of economic outlook, it's clear Republicans do a better job of governing as a whole than Democrats do. And I believe that that means that we should not elect Democrats to high office anymore.
Well, I think so. And everyday hardworking people, you know what? I think I used to take it for granted. We learned about what servant leadership, that we are a country of we the people. I think that inherently Americans have believed that. They've believed that the people that they elect into office have had Americans' best interests in mind. And we see that school boards, metro districts, city councils, county commissioners, state, and federal. And even Republicans get co-opted into this. When people say that they're running for office because they want to make a difference or to give back, and I've heard Republicans say that, it's like, that is really not what our elected representatives are supposed to do. They are supposed to represent us, our best interest, and that those best interests are not the socialist view of taking one person, stuff from one person and give it to another, but to in fact preserve these rights, these property rights, and these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, Rick.
That's absolutely true. And even some Republicans, I believe, get seduced by the allure of having the governmental power and wanting to use government to accomplish their ends, whether it's, you know, social goals or, you know, their view of what government should be doing in terms of tax policy and taking money from people by force to spend on government programs. And it's really disappointing to me when people who should know better sign on to things like the LEAP initiative, for example, that we talked about last month, or other things where government just doesn't belong. And the Republican Party as a whole, I think, still hews to the limited government view of politics. But the Democratic Party has surrendered to the socialist base. And they call themselves progressives, but they're really regressives because they want to return us to days of tribalism and division and disunity. And you talked earlier about unity, and it's been my view for some time now when people talk about unity that you just can't unite with people who want to destroy you and the things you believe in. So we've got to continue this debate in America about what exactly is the proper role of government. And you and I believe that the proper role of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And our friends on the left view the proper role of government is to basically run everything in our lives and make all our choices and take all our money and reduce us to servitude. And that's just not the vision of the founders of this country when they crafted the Constitution and wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Rick, when we talk about unity, and you're absolutely correct that the Democrat Party of today has been really taken over by radical activist socialist Marxists. And those that love freedom, we will never be able to unify with them. But I think that is maybe, I mean, that's a small percentage of Americans. I am seeing people that they have been busy with their lives and their families and their jobs and have not really been paying attention. And all of a sudden with the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, government coming in saying, hey, big business, big box stores, your business is essential. And hey, little guy over here, your business is not essential. And really, they're trying to attack the middle class, and they're trying to attack those, and I shouldn't say they're trying to attack, they are attacking the middle class and people that are trying to just keep it together and move up the economic ladder. And one of the first things in your op-ed here is national failures, and that is fuel prices, gas prices. That affects, your quote here, it's almost up 40% from where Steve and I, the gas station that we kind of have been gauging our watch on these fuel prices, it's up more than 60%. That affects everyday hardworking people, and they are paying attention. My concern is these bad policies. I mean, we're getting into a very dangerous situation in America right now with these very bad policies, but people are waking up, and I think that we can unify 80% of the country, and that's what we need to do.
I agree with that, Kim. In my experience, most people, we're weird because we dabble in politics and we follow politics and we care about politics. We talk about it. But most people just want to live their lives, like you said. They just want to live their lives and take care of their families and, you know, save money for vacation and stuff like that. And they just don't really care about what's going on at the national, or even more importantly, at the local level. And they just tune in every 2 or 4 years to vote and decide who they're going to vote for based on whatever their criteria are. But it's there's a saying, I don't care about politics, but politics cares about you. And that's absolutely true. The people that we elect to office, these choices have real life consequences. And we see this in Colorado. You know, I've heard of many businesses closing in Colorado for various reasons, like our friend Jen had to close her Water's Edge winery. There's other businesses that are going out of business in Colorado. And I believe that under Democrat leadership, especially with this paid family and medical leave program coming in, that it's going to be harder to start a business in Colorado. It's going to be harder to stay in business in Colorado. In the state rankings, when I did my first blog a year ago, Colorado in 2019 was ranked 18th in Economic Outlook. And when I updated the graphic for this year's blog post, Colorado slipped to 20th in the states for Economic Outlook. And it's going to continue to slip as long as Coloradans keep electing Democrats to the governorship in the state House and Senate.
Well, and let's think about this, Rick. This governor, as we look at economic incentives, that is another code word for picking winners and losers and giving one person a break and not another. And so economic incentives they use to bring companies in, they say, hey, you may not have to pay as much in taxes. And you kind of look at that and you're like, well, if it's good for them to not pay so much in taxes, then maybe it's good for not everybody to pay so much in taxes. And how is it fair that you possibly bring in competitors to people that have been in business paying taxes and hiring people for years in either and cities have economic development offices, counties have it, as well as the state. And Polis has been really focused on technology and bringing those kinds of companies into Colorado. And really, it looks like there is an assault on rural Colorado. And we certainly have seen an assault on the oil and gas industry, chasing them out. And there is never a state, an entity, a business, a family. You can never be the best that you can be if you are picking winners and losers. Instead, you should be putting in policies that all people with hard work, they can thrive and prosper. And so I think Colorado will continue to decline in this economic ranking. And the problem, Rick, is the elites have taken it for granted. Colorado is a beautiful state, just like California is a beautiful state. But at some point in time, when the economics get upside down for people, they will leave.
That's true, and just like I did. And it's very true that people vote with their feet. And when I do research for these blogs, it always interests me to see, you know, I formulate a thought in my head and then I find research that validates what I thought. And, you know, when I look at migration patterns, people are leaving Democrat-run cities and states. And I believe I talked about that in this blog post. The top 10 cities where people that have the highest net out migration are all run by Democrats. And the same is true of states. In their book, The Wealth of States, authors Arthur Laffer and Stephen Moore and the others, they really go into detail about how they use data from U-Haul to show that people leave the higher tax, higher regulation states and move to lower tax, lower regulation states. Unfortunately, a lot of times they continue to vote for the same policies and people that caused them to flee the state they left in their new state, which is very unfortunate. But it's very true that people do vote with their feet and people are tending to leave the blue states and going to the red states. And nowhere is that more evident than the number of people who are moving from California to Texas. And I don't see very many California plates here in Oklahoma, but I do see, plates from other states here for sure, Colorado plates and Kansas plates and so forth. So it's very clear to me that people are going to move from higher tax states to lower tax states. And these graphics really, really try to demonstrate that point.
This piece that you have written is so well-researched and so succinct in explaining what is going on. I so highly recommend people go to my website to check this out. Rick, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. And this is your companion piece from last year, Unfit to Govern. This is still Unfit to Govern. And, of course, a lot has happened since last year as well. So we're going to go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Rick Turnquist.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim
Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That way you will get first look at all of our upcoming op-eds, podcasts, guests. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice and search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Rick, in this piece that you've written, you said they don't care. And once again, I was naive. I used to think that our elected officials believed in this we the people, that they were servant leaders. And you had an experience down at the State House. I have as well, and going down, testifying, trying to make your voice heard. And I had the same experience as you were reading this. I hadn't realized that they make it very inconvenient and uncomfortable for people. They may put other bills before yours that you're interested in a hearing, which means that I remember I was down there, I think, for half a day on one of these issues. Everyday hardworking people can't take that much time to go hear that, have their voices heard, and then just some of the disregard that these electives had for people was beyond belief. But why don't you bite off on that?
It truly is beyond belief. And earlier you were talking about, you know, citizen servants, and the people who are in charge in the Democratic Party in the Colorado State Capitol view themselves as anything but citizen servants. In fact, it's quite the opposite. If you go and look at that building and look at the hearing rooms, a lot of times, not in every single case, but a lot of times the legislators will be sitting on a dais in front of the room, elevated above the people in the audience. And they are allowed to eat and drink while they're in the room, but ordinary citizens cannot. They're crammed into chairs that, and depending on the bill, the room can be overflowing. I've been in the Capitol where the hearing rooms were so crowded that they had to set up overflow rooms to accommodate everybody. And the power dynamic is all wrong. They clearly think that they're in charge and that we're supplicants. And the language of the building says that, and the way they act says that. Another thing is that they will set these bills for hearings that will start at 1 o'clock. One example is there are several gun bills that were heard, I think it was last year or the year before. They put them all on the same calendar for the same day, starting at like 1 p.m. And so the lawmakers who present the bills talk first, and then they bring on witnesses. And when I first started going to the Capitol, people would come up individually and testify, and now they do panels. They take people who are for and against, they put them together in panels of three or four, and then they talk about their viewpoint for 3 minutes or whatever. And they schedule these things so that they're inconvenient times for people who have to work for a living. When I've gone to the Capitol, I've had to take PTO, which I'm fortunate to have in my job, but there's other people who may not be able to. A small business owner may not be able to take time off to go to the Capitol and testify about something that's important to them. And then they have the hearings. They start at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then they will go all night long sometimes. And they end up not being able to take testimony from everybody who wants to testify because they run out of time. And this is by intention. I used to think it was just stupidity, but it's actually, I think, by intention, because they don't really care what you want to say. They're just going through the motions. They're going to do what they want to do. And I saw this very, very clearly in the gun debates. You know, in 2013, when I went to the Capitol to listen to the testimony for the mag ban and the background check bills and the other ones, the Capitol was overflowing with people who opposed these bills, and they weren't all allowed to speak. And the proponents of the mag ban, Rhonda Fields and Beth McCann, you know, sat with their back to the audience for most of the day. And then when the chair of the committee asked for everybody who was opposed to these bills that may not have been able to be heard to stand up, virtually everybody in the room stood up, and when McCann and Fields turned around to look at all the people, the look of surprise on their faces was just comic to me, and I'll never forget that. And we've seen this with other things too. For example, when they had the hearing on the family bill in the Family and Medical Leave Insurance Act back in 2019, they had the hearing on a day when there is a historic bomb cyclone blizzard going in Colorado, and it was unsafe to travel. And in fact, a state trooper died doing their duty on that day. But this is the Democrats still saw fit to keep the Capitol open and still to hold testimony on that family, Faith Winner's Family Medical Leave Bill, in the middle of a dangerous storm. And I think that's unconscionable. And there's other examples that we could talk about. We could probably fill a whole show with examples of how the Democrats disrespect the voters in the Capitol, from, you know, scheduling inconvenient times for hearings to not listening to what people have to say. And sometimes they even berate witnesses for their points of view. It hasn't happened to me, but I've heard it happening when I've listened to it online. So they clearly don't care, and they don't view themselves as servants. They very much view themselves as the people in charge.
And Rick, they act like that they will never lose an election again. Which I find quite interesting. And so I think it's going to be quite interesting as we move into the 2021 and 2022 elections as well, because there are so many people that are asking for review election integrity, which I think is super important. But these people act like they think that they will never lose an election again. But yet people are paying attention. Now, I'm not sure if you listened to the show yesterday, but I had been up in Loveland on, Wednesday night. And actually a very interesting presentation by five women that all had grown up in socialist countries. And each of them said, America, we must realize what's going on, and we must stop and take a stand against this big government socialist movement that is occurring. But that night at the Thompson School Board meeting, there was a discussion regarding mandating masks on our children in school. And to your point, it was standing room only, overflow, parents, community members saying not to mask our children. And the MO that they described was kind of what you alluded to. I saw it when I was on city council. Is government will have an agenda that they want to push forward, and then they will have their minions come in and under the guise of being citizens in support of their piece of legislation or ordinance or decision they're going to make. And typically, we've not been there to show up. But in this case, on Wednesday night, people showed up. And so then what happens is many times the question might be tabled for another day. Or in this case, what they did is the school board approved a temporary, use the word temporary, mandated mask or mask mandate. And these are all ways that I think really disrespect everyday people.
Absolutely. Like I say, they go through the motions because they have to, but they really don't care what you have to say. And I think that's why people sometimes don't go. In one of the years after 2013, there's more gun bills being introduced. I went to testify against them, and not as many people showed up as were showing up in 2013. And the left took that as a sign of victory, you know, that people don't care, people support what we're doing, blah, blah. I think it's just that people know that the Democrats aren't going to listen to what they have to say, and they don't want to take time to take time away from work to travel to Denver to go to the Capitol and sit for hours in uncomfortable chairs and be ignored. So I think people still care, but they just don't want to put themselves through the experience of having to testify against bills when they know their voices won't be heard anyway.
And Rick, that's why elections matter. And I actually, that's happened with me. I will sometimes get an all call that, oh, we need to go to this particular meeting. And life is busy, and I've looked at it, and it's like, well, I'm not sure that they'll really listen or they'll really care. But
what that does mean is that we need to really work on electing people that we think will represent us, and then we need to stay engaged with them as well, Rick.
That's exactly right. We need to stay engaged with them. And, you know, Tom Cranawer has written about being what it means to be a citizen, and it requires work. It requires keeping up with the issues. It requires keeping up with the people, meeting the people involved. I've met, at one time, I knew just about all of the Republicans anyway, and I knew many of the Democrats that were in the state house. Talk to several of them, write to them, email them, tell them what you think, and they may not listen, but at least you're on record with what you think. And that's what's important, is to make your voice heard and to really think about who you're voting for when you cast your ballots. It really is important to understand that if you vote for big government Democrats, sooner or later they're going to pass things that are going to hurt you and your family in terms of higher taxes, fees, regulations, premiums, and whatnot.
Well, and to that point, and when we elect Republicans that start to think that government is the answer, we need to stay engaged with them as well. And that's why both you and I have done pieces, as well as Patty, on this LEAP initiative, which is going to be on the ballot this November in Colorado. And it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable, bureaucratic authority board that will make these decisions on that. And that's antithetical. Yeah, antithetical to the American idea. Rick Turnquest, thank you so much. I love Turnquest Fridays. They go by too quickly.
Yes, Kim, they certainly do. Thanks, and have a great day.
Okay, you too. Our quote for today is from Aristotle, and I've been thinking a lot about fear. And he says, "He who has overcome his fears will truly be free." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want